Some of you might be old enough to remember the Baltimore Catechism. For those who are not familiar, it was the textbook used from 1885 till about 1970 to teach catechism. And question 150 asked, "Why did God make you?" And the answer was, I know many of you know it, "God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in the next." It was a simple answer to that existential question, why are we here? A true and lasting and authentic happiness depends on knowing God, loving God, and serving him in this world. It's about living in close relationship with him, just as our first parents, Adam and Eve, did before their fall. They walked with him, they talked with him, and they knew that they were his own. They were in communion with him. But then after the fall, separated from God, their hearts and our hearts too became darkened. Staying close to God became impossible. God was too bright for our eyes to see, and he was too far away for our souls to find. And in our first reading today, God approaches humanity again, though not fully, not face to face as he was with Adam and Eve, but through sign and symbol. God the Father makes a covenant with mankind through Abram, later Abraham, and says to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And then God seals that promise with blood, passing between the two halves of the animal offerings through smoke and flame. The smoke represents the great mystery of God. Just as we can't see through smoke clearly, we cannot see God clearly, but we know he's there. The flame represents the intensity of God. His brightness is too much for us to look at directly. And we see these two symbols again in our Lord's transfiguration. God the Son is preparing to make a covenant with mankind again. And on that mountaintop, he reveals who he really is. The appearance of his face was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white. The apostles saw his glory. For the first time since Adam and Eve, mankind was able to look upon God in all his brightness, in all his splendor, and all his glory, face to face, until the smoke of the cloud covered him. It's in Jesus, the distant, mysterious God of the Old Covenant is now close and can be seen clearly. In Jesus, friendship and communion with God are again possible. God is no longer too bright nor too far away, but he's a close companion and friend. Now my question to you is, what would you do if you were standing in God's presence, surrounded by his glory? What should our response be? God the Father in the cloud tells us, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." So that begs the question, do we listen to Jesus? We hear him. We hear him a lot. We hear him in the scriptures, in the words of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We hear him in the teachings of his church. But do we listen? There's a story about a concerned husband who went to a doctor to talk about his wife. He said to him, "Doc, I think my wife is deaf because she never hears me the first time." Well, the doctor said, "Go home tonight and stand about 15 feet from her and say something to her. If she doesn't reply, move 5 feet closer and say it again. And keep doing this so that you'll get an idea about how severe her deafness is." So sure enough, the husband goes home and does exactly as instructed. His wife is in the kitchen cutting up some chicken. He stands about 15 feet behind her and says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" He hears no response. So he moves about 5 feet closer, now 10 feet behind her, and asks again. Still no response. He moves 5 feet behind her, still no response. So he gets fed up and moves right behind her about an inch away and yells, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she turns around and screams, "For the fourth time already, I said chicken." Do we take the time to listen? Or are we like that man with his wife and we frustrate God because we don't take the time to hear and listen? So how can we listen better this Lent to everything that God wants to say to us? Well, we take the time to make an effort. I think we all hear God. We do hear that still small voice that nudges our conscience. Perhaps sometimes we hear God loud and clear, but we don't respond as we should. So let us start listening to him. God has already made the first move to come close to his people. He sought us out. He bridged that gap. He made himself known so that we can be in close relationship with him face to face. Here on this altar in just a few moments will be God's Son. Let us listen to him.